I declare the meeting open at 9:34 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet here this morning. I'd also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who may be present this morning. Just a quick reminder about the Section 32 of our standing orders and public conduct at meetings. There are some signs around chambers that will indicate the process and the protocols. But you must just remember, members of the public, that not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recordings or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed, turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements, and that I may, without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. Councillors, there's no leave of absence that I'm aware of this morning, so we will move on to our devotional segment. And it's my great pleasure to welcome from our Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Linda Greaves from the 3C Church, and she will lead us in a brief devotional segment. Over to you, Linda.
Thank you very much. Excuse my voice. I have had laryngitis, but I'm back, okay? I just want to share with you this morning about the why. Thanks for all of you for staying strong and fulfilling the dream of Redland City and all the benefits that we can all reap. I really appreciate that as one of the members of this great city that we live in. There's a lot of negativity and bad things that are happening around us within our city, and it continually goes on. But as we come back to our why, we come back and we stick to the why we actually do what we do, why you are councillors, why you want to see change within this great city, why you want to implement certain things. And it's the same for us. And as we stick to our why, we will see the right results. I'm reminded of David from the Bible. He was just a shepherd boy until he defeated Goliath and was propelled into his purpose and his destiny. So as we keep staying strong to our beliefs, fighting off the foxes, fighting off the lions and the bears, and one day we will defeat our Goliaths and see the change that we need to see to keep this city, the great city that it is, and the safe city that it is as well. We, as the founders of the Cage and senior pastors of C3 Church Redland Bay, love Redlands. We love being a part of helping and fulfilling our why, and as we continue to make a difference in the city by providing the support for young people and their families in need. As we're based out at Redland Bay now and developing that area for a community centre. Why? Because we love our city, we love the people in it, and we want to make a difference. And I thank you that I believe that all of you sitting around the table here today have actually got that same belief and same heart and same dream, that you want to make a difference and you want to make this a great city to live in. So I just thank you, and I'd just like to pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've called us, you've placed within us, Father, a destiny. I thank you for the dream and the purpose. I thank you that your hand is upon us. And Lord, as we stick close to that dream, to that fulfillment, to that why that you've placed within our hearts, mighty God, we will see the outworking of your desire and your dream for this great city. I pray for those here in this room today, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would strengthen them. Lord, in times of stress or trouble, Lord, bring them back to the why. Why they put their hand up in the first place, and why they want to make a difference in this great city of Redlands. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for the opportunity to share with you. Keep on keeping strong. God bless.
The next item, councillors, is recognition of achievement. I haven't been advised of any presentations for that item, councillors, so we'll move on to the receipt and confirmation of minutes of the general meeting of the 13th of July. Could I please have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 13th of July 2006 be confirmed? Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Are there any items of correctness, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, we also need a mover and seconder for the minutes of the special meeting held on the 14th of July 2006 to be confirmed. Can I have a mover of that move? Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Elliott. Any items of correctness, Councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. Matters outstanding from minutes of the previous general meeting. I'll just ask the Chief Executive Officer to present. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Mayor Williams. Through you to the councillors. Councillors, as you'll be aware, that report has been distributed to all the councillors. We're in the process at the moment of doing up a fact sheet so that can be distributed to the various residents and also have a communication strategy around that. So we expect to table that report and the fact sheet in August. And I have spoken with Councillor Hewlett, who is one of the chief advocates for this, and he's okay with that. Thank you, Mayor Williams.
Thank you, CEO. Moving on to item 7, public participation. I have been advised of a speaker, so I could have a mover and seconder, councillors, that we adjourn the meeting for a 15-minute public participation segment. Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. I might just ask if we have been advised that the CEO of Hog's Breath Cafe would like to address us this morning. If you'd like to just make your way up to the microphone, and as you do that, I'll just give you the rundown on the protocols involved. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name, suburb or organisation they represent, and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless they're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant material in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. I will give priority to members of the public who have made a written application to the CEO. Also, it is my responsibility to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. One last responsibility of mine is to the responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before that time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into in this forum. And with that, I'll ask you to start with your name, address or organisation you represent. Thank you.
Okay, my name's Paul Peart, Hog's Breath. I live in Thornlands and the business is based in our head office in Raby Bay, Cleveland. Reason why I'm here is I'd like to formalise our proposal to the Eat Street markets, which are being planned for the Redlands. I have a number of things I'd like to go through. One of the things that we see is there's already a substantial food offering within this fantastic city. There's over 50 eateries locally, including ourselves. We're probably one of the biggest in terms of both Hog's Breath and Funky's, which is our Mexican brand as well. We employ a huge amount of staff. One of the things that we are struggling to accept is the fact that this will bring any further offerings of food to the area that are not already there, served by local people and employing local people as well. We are huge in terms of employment. We employ 61 staff at Cleveland and we employ 22 staff at Funky, so Cleveland being Hog's Breath. It was interesting when I looked at the figures of unemployment on the website, and there's nearly 23,500 15 plus people unemployed in this area. We employ 82% of Hog's Breath people are under 21. I'm a huge advocate of apprenticeships and taking on local staff. I've been with Hogs now for 9 months and my direction is clear to continue to grow, to continue to invest in the local people. Since I've been employed, we've taken on a further 15 younger people to give them career options for the future, and I will continue to go to grow with that. Eat Street will obviously oppose that because the planning of Eat Street being on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday is our busiest time at the restaurant, and that's when I need most of the staff, both at Hog's Breath and Funky's. One of the things that concerns us is the toilet facilities that will be available at Eat Street Markets. We are part of a fantastic centre down at Raby Bay where we have great public toilets. We have security there for obviously reasons to keep the public safe. We are hugely concerned about the lack of business. It's an industry which is very tough at the moment in terms of earn a living, and you've got to be really good and offer a good service to be able to get through today's climate. And we're really worried about the loss of trade for established local business owners as well, as long as ourselves, even though we're probably the biggest. We value all of our associates throughout Redlands to deliver a proposition to the public. The employment of local staff we've covered. We're planning on growing. A little bit about what we've planned is Hogsbreath at Cleveland is the university for the whole of the country and New Zealand. So everybody who passes through the Hogsbreath franchise system, whether it be franchisee level or whether it be manager level or even staff training, they all come through Cleveland. So my plan is to grow the university to offer more service related achievement awards to the staff. For that, I need more people. My development of the training team will help that as well. Funkies, which is, we only have one site at the moment, which is in Cleveland. We have now got two applications from WA, because that will be a part of the franchise model as well. That will be the part of the franchise model as well. So my hope for the future is that we then create a Funkies University based out of Raby Bay as well, and that will incorporate more people being employed to do the training and guidance of that through the franchise system. So Hogs has proved we're now up to 83 across Australia and New Zealand, and the plan is to continually grow. We've got another one opening in a couple of weeks in Victoria, and we've just opened up Darwin as well. So we're very active in this market when a lot of people are feeling a bit, probably a little bit nervous about developing and growing their brand. We're going really hard at that. We've just gone through a brand change, and we've just gone through a significant menu change. So Funkies will be a huge part of our proposition going forward as well. But Hogs is already established. Apprenticeships. I'm keen to develop with apprenticeships, and we're now in discussions with TAFE to really give our youngsters some guidance for the future in terms of what they can do. So again, my ability to do that remains on the success of Cleveland, and Eat Street Markets will damage it, and it will probably mean that I have to relinquish on my ambition to grow the local community in terms of what they can offer for their children in terms of opportunities. We are embracing on a more mature approach as well. We've realised that the more mature area of that is that there are areas of unemployment, and Ross and I are working on that in terms of how we can ingratiate them into the system as well at different levels. Food hygiene is huge at the moment to us, and one of the things that I would challenge is with Eat Street Markets is, will they be vigorous in their food hygiene that we are? We are inspected very regularly, and quite rightly so. I believe that the standards we uphold are exemplary in terms of a business, not only ethically in terms of our staff, but also for the guest being the highest priority. The days that they're looking at putting the Eat Street Markets in are our peak trading days. If it wasn't for the peak trading days at the moment, the other days have been a bit of a challenge in terms of getting people into the restaurants, and we're working on different initiatives for that. But without Friday, Saturday and Sunday, it's incredibly difficult. And that's where we're finding a lot of the staff that we're rostering. They're heavily weighted towards the weekend to give us coverage. So it's incredibly important that we keep that going. Two things. We already have a twilight market once a month at Cleveland on the just beside the restaurant. We embrace that. It's a fantastic opportunity for additional people to come to the area. And we work really well with them. We've also got the farmers markets on Middle Street every single Sunday. So again, I question whether how important it would be to bring an Eat Street Market, which I am aware of, there's different locations, as to whether that would add extra value or just distress the local businesses. Happy to look at more twilight markets because I think they work well. I think they offer a good offering for the public, and it also services the many eateries around Redlands at the moment, which are some of them are busier than others, But any help that we can give them, I really support that, because we can only grow if the local area grows as well. Let me go through this now. I think that's pretty much it from Hog's Breath. I just wanted to let the council know that we oppose it 100%, because it's going to damage what we're doing as a... I believe it will damage what we're trying to do as a local business, and a very influential local business. I think we're the harbour's biggest tenant. I think we're the hospitality, we're the biggest employer in the area as well, and I'd like to continue to grow that with your support. I think if I can get your support on this, I would really appreciate it in order to be able to grow the business to the levels that I would like and continue to develop local employment and give people chances. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public in the gallery that would like to address council? There being none, I'll take a motion that the meeting proceedings are resumed. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded. Councillor Mitchell, those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. Item 8 is petitions and presentations, and I haven't been advised of any councillors. Nothing new coming since yesterday, nor have I been advised of any presentations at 8.2, so we'll go to the order of business. I do need a mover and seconder that a late confidential item moving the Station Master's Cottage be received and discussed as item 16.1.2. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 10, councillors, is a reminder of material personal interest and conflict of interest under the Local Government Act 2009. A summary of those responsibilities are in your agenda. Item 11.1, I don't have my list from yesterday. 11.1.1, have a mover. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
Yes, thanks, Ben. Just briefly. I'll read the paraphrase version, that way we won't get it wrong. The year-to-date operating result shows a favourable variance of $5.08 million to the year-to-date revised budget. A considerable portion of this variance is due to the reclassification of the Roads to Recovery grant from capital to operational, which wasn't reflected in the budget. General rates revenue is boosted by payments received in advance. Additionally, higher than anticipated investment interest revenue contribute to the interim favourable operating result. Capitalised works expenditure is behind budget by $10.69 million due to the timing of works for a number of projects which are delayed or are still in the early stages of being progressed. Capital works that are no longer expected to be undertaken this financial year has been carried forward to the next financial year during the final budget review. The carryover budget review is expected to be finalised in August 2016. We expect about $7 million to be rolled over. Council's cash balance exceeded budget due to higher than anticipated grants and contributions received and lower than expected payments for property, plant and equipment. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Any speakers against? Any comments, councillors? In that case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.1. Councillor Mitchell, would you like to move that, please? Move Councillor Mitchell?
Yes, move.
Seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Very briefly. These are procedural decisions of the officers and overseen by the councillors very carefully, but largely procedural. So, yeah, that's all I'd like to say.
Any speakers against, councillors? Any comments, questions? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.2. Councillor Mitchell, you'd like to move that?
Yes, I'd like to move that.
Seconded by Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
No, just to move as per officer's recommendation.
Any other questions or comments, councillors? Question, Councillor Hughes?
As I missed an update yesterday, just did we receive an update in that meeting? Was there anything outstanding there that
Yes, we did. We did actually receive an update, and I don't know that. Would you like to provide that update, CEO?
Thank you,
Councillor Hughes. If you're okay with this, we will give you an update afterwards. I'll get our general counsel just to speak to the updates on those, because it's not appropriate in a public forum at this stage. But we'll give you that update if you're okay with it.
I understood that. I just had flagged that, and unfortunately missed that.
Yeah, no. I'll make sure Andrew Ross, our general counsel, comes and speaks to you today, and just gives you the update as was shared with the councillors.
Just a reminder that that information, by the time it reaches the general meeting, is probably about 2 weeks old, so sometimes things are settled in the meantime. So we'll get the general counsel to speak to you directly. Okay, so with that, any other questions? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.3, I believe there's an amended motion, Councillor Mitchell.
Maybe, yes, sorry, Mayor. Get to that if you can in front of me. Ah, thank you. Yes, the amended motion is that's up on the board there, Madam Mayor.
So moved by Councillor Mitchell, seconded by Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Yes, please, Mayor. Councillors of the group are very supportive of the Economic Development Advisory Board. This inspiring group will help facilitate and unlock some of the sleeping giants within the Redlands economy and shine a light on some new opportunities. In the near future, we look forward to the specific action plans around the first three identified key industry sectors of healthcare and social assistance, education and training, and manufacturing. These plans will complement the existing practical and measurable outcomes expected from the Tourism Action Strategy and associated elements that have come from this, such as the newly formed Redlands Tourism Subcommittee. Last night we had the pleasure of seeing the positive and energised group that this was. The Economic Development Advisory Board will also discuss and advise around Smart Cities Initiative frameworks, around policy, investment opportunities and technology. So it's quite an exciting opportunities coming forward. So with that, I'd like to move the amended motion as per the officer's request.
Any speakers against, councillors? Speaker against, sorry, no. Comments? Councillor Hughes and then Councillor Bishop.
I'd just like to comment and thank the officers for the support in amending the motion. When we went through the report, and there was a couple of issues that I had highlighted, and I really appreciate the support. Thank you.
Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate I wasn't there yesterday morning for our discussion prior to this meeting, but I just had a couple of questions. First of all, absolutely acknowledge the extraordinary range of skills that we have on this board and the people heading it up. One of the questions that I'd just like to be clear of for myself and for other councillors is, in the creation of this group, how will decisions that get brought to us be made sure that they go through the process of ensuring the due diligence and best practice? Because as we've got these people who are on the board and they're looking at various sectors, I'm just wondering, with the action plan, for example, that are proposed for these things, how we're going to get as much robust support from the broader sector as possible. What's the best way for us to implement these?
I'll get an officer to respond, but I think it's important to note that the advisory board can only make recommendations.
That's
yes. All decisions must be made by council as a whole, and like the tourism strategy, I think that's a really good example of how that was road tested and consultation was done. It was very thorough. And similarly, we would expect, as those action plans are developed, that we would have that same level of communication and engagement to make sure it's going to reflect the industry's needs now and in the future. But I'll get the officers to respond. But
As further clarification, exactly that sort of work needs to be done, and we need to have industry professionals there in the same way that we've had someone from the community come and bring the community's view. Just want to make sure that we maintain that line of sight with what comes through the expert panels, and making sure that we as councillors are across where there might be other things that we just need to consider as we move forward with action items like this, and to make sure that it ties in with where the overall sector needs to be. Just
Councillor Bishop, good question. I'd refer you back to the charter, which is a record on there, which sets out what the advisory panel is trying to do, what its powers are, those type of things. On behalf of Kim Kerwin, who leads this for us, the process that we'll do is bring these back, as was the Mayor outlined, to Council to decide. We'll also have in their action plans, when they get down into that detail, a range of who we'll consult with, the various industry groups and those sort of things, which will be a recommendation to Council. And in this forum, you're able to adjust those and change them as you see appropriate. Also, there is a standing invite pretty much to each of the meetings for all the councillors, which you are able to provide your insight and wisdom as well through those committee meetings, which I note a few of you have attended some of those. So that's the process that will come through. The action plans will be ratified through here, probably not the right words, or adopted through here. So you ultimately have that that power to do that, but very mindful of that. And I know I have updates and some timelines and those sort of things from Kim, which she's prepared for us, which I will send out to you to just get a bit of a sense of where we're heading. But at this stage, those processes will be adopted by Council, and you have full input into those.
Thank you. Just further as comment, I just thank you for that. I really appreciate that we have those things in place. I think back to councillors, it's really important that we do pay attention to what's happening out there in the sector, in the various sectors. I have not previously supported the development of the strategy or even the committee, although I acknowledge and respect the work that they're doing and appreciate the work that our officers are doing. I think that the real people who do the work in the city are obviously the businesses themselves, and we need to find as many ways to guide and support and facilitate that as possible. And so the work really does sit back with us, and I think rather than sending a signal out that something's being done, it's all going to be fixed, we need to pay attention to what's going on out there. So I will support this, but I think we need to try and keep finding ways to invite as many members of the community in these sectors to define, as they will, the reality of what's out there, because these are just documents and suggestions. That's all. Thank you.
Councillor Golay, comment?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I think we've already listened to a public submission today from one concerned business who does form very much part of our tourism here in the Redlands. And we do need to take note and give feedback to the advisory board that as they give their advice to us, that they do factor in some of the highlighted businesses that are already here rolling along before we start reintroducing some sort of competition along those lines. So we need to highlight all these factors and have the advisory board recognise that as part of the tourism strategy as well.
Councillor Bogleri.
Oh, thank you. On page 13 of the report is the brief overview of the meeting from the advisory board. It's got the sectors which we mentioned up there, healthcare and social assistance, education and training, and then it had manufacturing.
We sought advice from the officers after the discussion that was raised by Councillor Hughes in regards to what could be achieved in the time frame,
and just
that
to
was
cut
their,
it down to that, yeah, it's,
and that
it,
that was their focus that in the order of priority that was raised.
It's just Councillor Mitchell mentioned it in his speech he read out, and manufacturing still, and I just wanted to make sure that we were clear that they're the two we picked out of the three.
Advice from the officers. Certainly, they were the three priorities that were raised by the board, but obviously, we need to resource it in a way that's sustainable, so they were the two.
And my only other concern is that I hope residents and businesses don't think we're responsible for getting the high-speed broadband infrastructure for Redlands, and just to let them know that we're supporting them because we understand the difference it makes to their businesses' growth when they actually have access to it.
And notwithstanding, Councillor Bogleri, that we are also running with our tourism industry as well. So we've got that multi-tiered 1, 2, 3 currently. We know that there's 8 or 9 that we're working through, and the priority looking at our broadband is that's not in conjunction with the NBN that is doing, I understand, a review of what our needs are. Absolutely. Thank you.
So you can sum up, Councillor, if you wish, because you brought the motion. Would you prefer to do that? Sure.
Yeah, just a comment too. I agree with Councillor Bishop and others that any ideas and initiatives that come out of the Economic Development Advisory Board, or indeed initiatives that may come out of Council, are only to enable the community and business leaders within our community to take control and take action. There's only so much that we can do. So that's exactly my attitude towards these things. And just to mention again the Redlands Tourism Subcommittee that we met last night, that's exactly a group that's out of our community who are taking control of their destiny, initially led and enabled by council, but getting them together to eventually take control and lead this into the future. So I agree.
I'll just get the CEO to read out the details of the proposed Councillors. Action plans.
Thank you, Mayor William. Councillors, just for clarity, I will send this out. Kim Kerwin's team prepared this for us. So the action plans, just so that there's a degree of confidence both in the community and amongst yourselves around the detail that will be in the action plans. So on the first one, the industry sector analysis that incorporates the statistics and market size, the industry analysis and trends, key economic drivers. The second element that will be in there will be the industry sector overview, and that will be in detail engagement with key stakeholders in the sector. This element of the action plan will need to consider the following inputs: number of jobs, industry output and GRP growth for the sector, local issues and trends, future projections and considerations. Item 3 will be about a SWOT analysis for the industry. So for those, that's the strengths, weaknesses and opportunities and threats. So I think those two points cover off a range of the topics that have been raised. They'll also look at activities and initiatives and looking at synergies with other industries and subsectors within the industry, key drivers, key stakeholders, delivery timeframes. 5 will be about the resourcing investment, so that's existing Redland City resources, industry sector resources to be determined through an industry engagement process, additional resourcing requirements, opportunity costs associated with the delivery of the action plans. And then finally, you'll get an action plan summary, which will have objectives, actions, owners, investment required, timelines, and outcomes. Now, I will forward that to you, but do acknowledge the work of Kim and the team that are doing this very comprehensively. So just putting that on the public record that they're the sort of things that we'll do, and my apologies for not forwarding it out. I was planning to do it after this session this morning. Thank you.
Any other comments? Sorry, Councillor Hewlett.
Oh, just a brief one. Thank you. Mayor Williams, I attended the subcommittee last night down at Raby Bay, which was great to see all the operators or the subcommittee get together on the tourism forum or committee. The only thing that I would say about that particular committee was there was no one represented from the art and cultural area in the city. The museum and heritage. This, I'm talking about like someone like Susan Russell from Red Arts or... are they? But I think their focus is more on heritage, but personally. But and the other issue that came from us is I was speaking to Cameron Costello from Kayak was, you know, we've got our islands still aren't embraced enough. We've got Stradbroke transitioning out of mining. We don't know our data on the visitations to Coochie, which still has a lot of tourism potential. I think we basically all agree that the islands are probably our best tourism opportunity in this city. And I think we need to start embracing our cultural heritage of that area, and the beaches and all the other things that come along with it on our Bay Islands, because it's something that a lot of the other councils don't have. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. Any other comments? If I could just respond to a couple of the items that have been raised. I'll start with the cultural opportunities and the cultural heritage in particular. Our Kayak has certainly been front and centre of discussions of developing the tourism strategy, and also have great input into the draft transition strategy that the state government has yet to present. So we all acknowledge that is an opportunity, and certainly that when you're talking about tourism, which is only one of the 8 sectors, by the way, obviously one we thought had the most potential in the early stages, which is why we already have an action plan. So if you go through that strategy, you will note that all the things that have been raised in regards to tourism are actually not only acknowledged in that tourism strategy, but have actions next to them to drive those outcomes and to measure them. In regards to, dealing with existing businesses, et cetera, and our expert committee advisory board having an understanding, they have spent pretty much probably about 15, 16 hours being immersed in everything Redlands. Officers have been presented to them, so they have obviously been exposed to the opportunities from an economic perspective in this city and the lay of the ground as far as Redlands go. So that has happened and that will continue to happen. I just also want to refer back to the original economic development framework. That was something that was driven by the business community of this city, along with other interested organisations. So that framework was developed. It was their framework, not our framework, and we continue to have that approach through the action plans that we intend to develop. Just probably touching on what Councillor Mitchell said, yes, we are just an enabler. Things like cutting red tape, making it easier to do business, all those sorts of things is how we can make it easier, but we can't be, at the end of the day, driving people's businesses for them. We just need to make it easier for them. Really important to note that one of the issues which has been, I think, included in this report, the UQ survey talks about one of the three reasons why people leave our city. They need access to markets, they need access to bigger commercial space, but the most important one is access to high-speed broadband. People are leaving our city because they cannot connect with the rest of the world, which is why we need to do an audit of where the gaps will be if and when we get our NBN in Redlands, and see what we can do or encourage to fill those gaps as a city, because that will be the best economic employment opportunity for our city, connecting us with the rest of the world. So that was a big item that came out of that discussion for those of you who attended the Economic Development Advisory Board. And, you know, we have a good team, people who are connected in that space, and we'll continue to work with them to see what we can do to improve that for our city through whatever means are available to us. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Mitchell and allow you to sum up if you wish.
I think it was a beautiful summation, Madam Mayor. So I think with that, I'll just move the motion.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I'll put the motion then. Those in favour? Yes, that's correct. Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Bishop. Thank you. Moving on to item 11.3.1. Do I have a mover for that? Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I think it's just operational. It's just giving delegation to the CEO for the collection, transport and processing of green waste and untreated timber, and the collection of transport and treated timber.
Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. Speaker against? I've got a couple of questions or comments. Councillor Boglari and Councillor Elliott. Councillor Boglari?
Oh, thank you. After we discussed this yesterday, I had a chat with the officers myself, because I just wanted reassurance that it wasn't actually just going straight to the CEO, which a couple of us were all talking about. It's a lot of responsibility for one person. There is still the whole tender evaluation process will include a red waste officer who will be a specialist in this area, a procurement officer, a probity advisor, which will be one of our solicitors. They will actually go through the whole tender process to make sure that whatever company gets it has the capacity and the capability to deliver on time, with quality and within budget. All their workplace health and safety, financial, environmental compliance issues will also be taken into control. There then is a gatekeeper, which is our general manager, and then it goes on to the CEO. So there is a very full process, which isn't quite explained in the report when you read it. It sounds like it just goes straight to the CEO, and he has the job of doing it a lot. So I just wanted to reassure that whole process is in there. But I would also, because waste, as I wrote somewhere recently, is like gold these days, it's an increasing industry with an increasing cost, increasing budget and responsibility to people. I would like to, and we have had this confirmed, that councillors can have a report, though it would have to remain confidential. We can have a report at some stage about who, and I just wanted that confirmed today. I have asked, can councillors have a report come back to us, whether it be in confidential, about the actual process?
I think if councillors wish to have that information, I think Gary, through you, you mentioned yesterday that you could make that information about yep. 20 council that was interested.
Yep, I just wanted that made public so that the public were aware that councillors, though we mightn't be involved in that process, we will have access to the documentation and
standard process.
Yep.
That's not anything unusual that I'm at.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Once this tender is evaluated and accepted, the excuse me, the successful contractor will be made public, and that will actually go up on our website from that perspective. And certainly how the contractor actually deals with the waste, that will certainly be available as well from that perspective. So I don't see any concerns being able to make that information available.
Oh, it wasn't just the information about the successful applicant, it was the actual tender evaluation process.
Yep, certainly those documents are commercial in confidence, but they're certainly available for the councillors to view.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. I'd draw just the committee's attention to page 18 down the bottom in financial, and these are the costs that we wear and the community, obviously the community wears, but you know, $1.6 million each year or this year. And if you've worked on, say, an average of 50,000 hours, you're looking at $30 in each rubbish bin across the city. So if you can recycle your green waste as much as you can reduce that cost across the board, because that's pensioners, that's everybody has to pay that fee. Certainly aware that treated timber, no, I don't want to see that put in your firebox or anything like that. But green waste, if we can reduce that as much as possible, it lowers the whole cost to everybody. And it's in your own backyard, if I could put it that way.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Councillor Bishop.
Yeah, thank you very much. I note that officers' recommendation option two was just to bring back to councillors effectively what Councillor Baglari was referring to, which is the an evaluation and selection process. Chatting with officers, that happens anyway. It's just that by going with that option, it means that it would be held up by a month, and we're just in a situation where it just needs to be proceeded at this stage. So I'm happy as well to have that brought back to us, either send an email off and ask for it, or it can be just sent to all councillors, just to make sure that we're aware of best practice, which I know that officers will be doing, especially all the people who are on it, and that's what officers do so well. The reason I think it's important for us in Redland City to pay attention to what the tenders are doing is that the market out there is moving into this space of recycling. At the moment, from what I understand, there's been no big change, and so the tender process is pretty much likely to stay where it is. But in the next few years, the way the officers have aligned these contracts going forward apparently will allow us to line up with Brisbane City Council should they go down the path of looking at other market shifts that might go on. And it's just important that we stay aware of where the market is moving in terms of... Have you got something you'd like to say, Councillor Gleeson?
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. I'm chairing the meeting.
Yeah, I know. I was just hearing some noises.
Please?
I'm
Thank
just sure
you.
If he's not
continue,
comfortable
please.
Or something. So I just want to make sure that we get that feedback so we're aware where the market's at, and we can actually have clarity, because it's going to be a huge cost going forward for Redland City to have to endure. And again, to the community, your putrescibles, which is that general waste that you can recycle, your own compost bins, worm farms, whatever you can do at home, that's the biggest and most tricky thing for us to deal with, and officers have got some good stuff coming up with that in future. Thank you.
Councillors, I have allowed a lot of informal discussion here, considering we've had this discussion yesterday. If we're going to continue, I will ask that we suspend our standing orders. Because we've got lots of informal, a lot of discussion happening that's already happened. Councillor Golay? I haven't been asking for and against. I've taken pretty much a comment from everybody. So, Councillor Golay?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just very quickly to... for the general public and the community, to back up what Councillor Elliott said, we have free tip fees. We can mitigate a lot of these costs by the community actually taking their green waste straight to our transfer stations and being dealt with there. It'll reduce costs overall here.
Any other comments, councillors?
I'll
get the officers to correct
okay,
that.
Okay, you please.
Gary?
I think, Councillor Gollo, this is from the tips away, so that doesn't actually mitigate it. So
I just heard two councillors say that if we basically process and recycle ourselves, which I took to be, if we actually go to the dump ourselves, it'll mitigate this cost.
No. It's actually, and Councillor Elliott is confirming, it is actually if they do it at home and don't put it in the bins or take it to it, this is to remove from our transfer stations off to a third-party site. So just to be correct, it's if you do it at home and it doesn't actually get to us.
Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you.
Councillor Hughes.
I apologise that I did miss yesterday morning due to a funeral, as did Councillor Gollay. On page 19, we talk about the consultation process, and I had highlighted the business partnering team, and I was just seeking some clarification as to what that meant. Thank you.
We did get that update. Business partnering team is people in our finance. Our finance team, as Deb's team. Okay. Councillors, any other comments? Look, just I just wanted to respond to a couple of things. There is change happening in the recyclable waste space, and councillors might want to start thinking about how the container deposit scheme is going to impact on our recycle bins and what's going to happen. That is new state legislation. So there is change happening. It happens all the time. I think it was mentioned that there's not much happening in that space, but there certainly is, and that will be a challenge for all local governments, particularly in southeast Queensland and in the urban areas. But I also wanted to refer people to page, members of the public, to page 18 that talks about how the tender evaluation happens. And if I could borrow a comment from Councillor Bishop, which is about separation of powers, it's really important we allow the officers with due processes and auditing over those processes to proceed with tenders and do that in a way that meets the legislation and their responsibilities and the roles that they play in this organisation. So, but it is quite clear and nothing's changed. This is really quite a housekeeping issue which has drawn a lot of discussion, which is great. But with that, I might hand back to Councillor Gleeson if he would like to sum up.
No, I'm fine. I think you covered it well, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2. Councillor Gleeson, are you happy to move that? Councillor 3.2, which is the scrap metal.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.3.2, which is delegated authority once again for the purchase and removal of scrap metal from Council's waste transfer stations.
So moved. Seconded by Councillor Elliott. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Again, just really a housekeeping matter, delegation to the CEO, to the Chief Executive Officer, just noting that there's a reduced revenue budget expectation of $143,000 due to the reduced global demand for iron ore.
Another comment, Councillor Elliott?
No, I think it's a correction.
Yeah. Oh, so it wasn't actually reduced, it's a total amount, is what you were going to say? Correct.
Comment? Further comment?
Yes, yeah, sure.
Do you want to something against first, sorry?
Is there anyone to speak against this? I didn't think there would be. It's Councillor Elliott.
Further to Councillor Gleeson alluding to that, the community needs to note that between 15-16 and the forecast 16-17, we're $600,000 down with the commodity prices of steel and things like that. That's a significant amount of money, I think, possibly close to 1% on a rate. It's something we have to put up with filling up, but we forecast it in the budget, as the GM stated to us yesterday, but it's certainly there. It's a figure I'd like to see come back up as quick as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Gleeson, would you like to sum up?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Nothing to add.
All right, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, that's moving us on to mayoral minute. There is no notices of motion to repeal or amend, nor any notices of motion, nor any urgent business without notice. However, we do have a closed session, and I've been advised, councillors, that you would like to move into closed session. The first item, you may not want to, so I'll just take your advice. So, Councillor Elliott's moving 16.1.1 and seconded by Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item, we might now ask for a mover to go on confidential. Moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Hewlett. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor. So with that, I'll ask members of the public gallery if they wouldn't mind. I'll thank them for their attendance and their participation this morning and ask them to vacate the chambers.
Just got to get the cameras and everything.
Sorry,
Joyce. She's going too quick for us. We're getting caught.
Sorry. All right. Can I now get a mover of the motion as amended? Moved Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Elliott. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously, with the exception of Councillor Bishop, who is absent. With that, I believe we've come to the end of our meeting. Just double check. I haven't got my running sheet in front of me now. That's it. I'll close the meeting at 11:03, councillors.